Introduction to Signal Processing. Understanding electroencephalography, EEG, requires mastery of several complex domains, including signal acquisition, waveform analysis, filtering techniques, frequency characteristics, and clinical interpretation. This document provides a comprehensive overview of EEG signal processing and explores how analog EEG signals are measured and quantified using digital tools. It addresses basic measurement terminology and discusses the importance of correct sampling and filtering procedures. The subjective and clinical relevance of frequency bands such as delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma are examined, with attention to their generation, interpretation, and associated disorders. Additionally, the discussion includes specialized waveform patterns, localization techniques, and clinically significant waveforms such as sleep spindles and spike in wave complexes. This overview integrates electrophysiological knowledge with practical neurofeedback and clinical applications, offering practitioners a foundational resource for effective EEG interpretation and training. Signal processing. EEG signal processing involves converting continuous, analog electrical activity recorded from the scalp into digital data for analysis. Raw EEG waveforms are characterized by their frequency, cycles per second, amplitude, signal strength, and shape, morphology. Once acquired, the analog signal is passed through amplifiers and filters to eliminate noise and isolate clinically relevant frequencies. The signal is then digitized using analog-to-digital converters, allowing advanced transformations like the fast Fourier transform, FFT, to quantify the power within discrete frequency bands. Accurate signal processing requires attention to sampling resolution and rate to prevent distortion and maintain fidelity in representing low and high frequency components. Techniques such as source localization and waveform recognition depend on these pre-processing steps for validity. BCIA blueprint coverage. This section corresponds to the Biofeedback Certification International Alliance, BCIA, Blueprint Domain 3.C, which focuses on signal processing within the broader context of instrumentation and electronics. It encompasses analog and digital EEG signal representation, essential signal measurement terminology, and the filtering methods necessary for accurate data interpretation. Additional topics covered include waveform morphology, subjective characteristics of frequency bands, and identification of clinically meaningful EEG patterns. Source localization methods like Loretta and surface Laplacian analysis, along with interpretation of characteristic waveforms, are also addressed. Together, these elements reflect the scope of BCIA's required competencies, equipping practitioners to handle signal acquisition and interpretation confidently. Analog, raw EEG. Analog EEG signals reflect the brain's naturally occurring electrical activity, continuously varying in amplitude and frequency. These raw waveforms are visualized as voltage changes over time, typically using a bipolar scale with positive and negative values around a central zero. The frequency of these oscillations, measured in hertz, spans from slow cortical potentials, very low frequencies, to gamma waves, fast frequencies above 30 hertz. Interpretation of raw EEG emphasizes that brain waves do not cause behavior, but reflect underlying brain states. For example, alpha rhythms signify a relaxed state, but do not induce relaxation. The analog signal contains rich information about both spontaneous and evoked activity and forms the foundation for all subsequent digital processing and analysis in EEG. Basic signal measurement terms. EEG waveform characteristics are quantified using frequency, amplitude, and morphology. Frequency refers to how often a wave cycle occurs per second, measured in hertz, and can be calculated by counting peaks or zero crossings within a second of EEG data. Amplitude measures the magnitude of voltage deflections and is typically reported in microvolts. High amplitude indicates greater neuronal synchrony, while low amplitude may signify asynchronous activity. Two methods of amplitude quantification include peak-to-peak, measuring the vertical distance from trough to peak, and root mean square, RMS, which calculates the average power of the waveform over time. Power, the square of amplitude, is used in spectral analysis and can be expressed as microvolts squared or in terms of percentage of total EEG power per frequency band. Filtering methods and subjective characteristics of frequency bands. Filtering methods are essential in EEG processing to reduce noise and isolate meaningful brain activity. Filters selectively attenuate or eliminate frequencies outside of interest. High-pass filters remove low-frequency drifts like sweat artifacts, while low-pass filters reduce high-frequency noise like muscle artifacts. Bandpass filters isolate specific frequency bands, such as alpha or beta, enabling targeted analysis. Notch filters remove narrow bands, typically at 50 or 60 Hz, to eliminate electrical line noise. Each filter must be carefully chosen to preserve physiological signals while minimizing artifacts, ensuring the validity of subsequent data interpretation. Subjective characteristics of EEG frequency bands refer to the associations between specific frequency ranges and states of consciousness or behavioral conditions. For instance, delta activity is linked to deep sleep and brain injury, theta to drowsiness and creativity, alpha to relaxed wakefulness, and beta to active concentration. These bands are not mutually exclusive in their functional roles and often co-occur or transition depending on arousal state and cognitive demand. Interpretation of these bands considers their amplitude, topography, and reactivity to conditions such as eye opening or cognitive tasks. This subjective functional mapping of EEG frequencies aids in both diagnostic assessments and the development of neurofeedback protocols tailored to client needs. Accurate filtering and frequency interpretation are critical for understanding the physiological and psychological significance of EEG data. Clinicians and researchers must recognize that artifacts and equipment limitations can alter the appearance of waveforms. Therefore, raw EEG inspection should accompany digital analysis. Filters should be disabled when evaluating waveform morphology to prevent distortion. Integrating filtering and interpretive frameworks provides a foundation for reliable clinical EEG interpretation and effective neurofeedback interventions. Sampling. EEG sampling is the process by which an analog signal is converted into a digital format for storage and analysis. This process is carried out by an analog-to-digital converter, which transforms continuously varying voltages into discrete numerical values at specific intervals. The number of bits used in this process, known as the sampling resolution, determines the precision with which voltage levels are quantified. Higher resolution enables a more accurate representation of both high and low amplitude components, which is essential for detecting subtle signal features. Equally important is the sampling rate, which determines how often the signal is sampled per second. To avoid aliasing and ensure accurate spectral analysis, the sampling rate must be at least twice the highest frequency of interest, as specified by the Nyquist theorem. The epoch length used in spectral analysis affects the analysis's frequency resolution and temporal sensitivity. Shorter epochs offer better temporal resolution but lower frequency resolution, whereas longer epochs provide the opposite. In fast Fourier transform analysis, epoch length determines the range of frequencies that can be accurately represented. For instance, an epoch of 1 second allows the representation of 1 Hz frequencies, whereas a 2 second epoch permits the detection of 0.5 Hz components. Some systems also employ joint time frequency analysis, JTFA, which enables the continuous assessment of selected frequency bands without requiring fixed epoch lengths. JTFA offers a higher temporal resolution and may be more suitable for real-time applications, such as neurofeedback. Choosing the appropriate sampling parameters is a trade-off between accuracy, computational efficiency, and clinical need. For high-frequency EEG components, such as gamma or muscle artifact, sampling rates of 512 or 1024 samples per second are preferred to avoid harmonic distortion. Conversely, standard sampling rates around 256 samples per second may be adequate for most clinical and neurofeedback applications. Additionally, high-bit ADCs with greater dynamic ranges allow for better representation of low-voltage DC components, such as slow cortical potentials. Careful consideration of these technical specifications is vital to ensure high-quality EEG acquisition and meaningful interpretation in both research and applied contexts. Filtering the data. Once the EEG signal has been digitized, it is subjected to filtering to remove unwanted frequency components and artifacts. Filters are applied after amplification stages, and their primary purpose is to isolate frequency bands of interest and minimize interference from non-cerebral sources. The most common types include high-pass, low-pass, band-pass, and notch filters. High-pass filters remove slow frequencies, such as drift and sweat artifacts, while low-pass filters eliminate fast activity, such as muscle movement or high-frequency noise. Bandpass filters allow only frequencies within a specified range to pass through, and notch filters remove narrow bands of interference, such as 50 or 60 Hz line noise from electrical systems. Digital filters offer advantages over analog filters, which can be applied retrospectively, adjusted precisely, and designed to introduce minimal phase distortion. Three common digital filtering methods are finite impulse response, FIR, infinite impulse response, IR, and fast Fourier transform, FFT, filters. FIR filters use weighted averages of input data points and are stable, but may require higher computational loads. IR filters are more computationally efficient, but can introduce frequency-dependent delays and may be less stable. FFT filters transform the signal into the frequency domain, manipulate the spectral components, and then retransform the signal, providing sharp frequency resolution but limited temporal sensitivity. Proper filter selection is essential to maintain data integrity and prevent misinterpretation. Clinicians must understand that overfiltering may eliminate relevant neurophysiological signals, while underfiltering may allow artifacts to contaminate the EEG. For example, removing EMG artifact with a low-pass filter may also attenuate high beta or gamma frequencies, potentially erasing meaningful data. Therefore, filters should be chosen based on clinical goals and the specific spectral characteristics of interest, and all filtering choices should be consistent across sessions and clients to allow for valid comparisons. Analog and digital filters. Analog filters operate on continuous signals using physical components such as resistors, capacitors, and operational amplifiers to modify signal properties. They apply filtering in real time before digitization and are typically designed as infinite impulse response systems. While analog filters offer immediacy and can be built into acquisition hardware, they lack the flexibility of digital filters. Analog filters also exhibit limitations in maintaining stability and are more susceptible to component aging and environmental variations. These drawbacks have led to a shift in preference toward digital filters in modern EEG systems. Digital filters process already digitized signals using algorithms that apply mathematical operations to the numerical data. This allows retrospective application, parameter adjustment, and precise control over filter characteristics. Digital filtering methods include finite impulse response, FIR, infinite impulse response, IDAR, and FFT-based filtering. FIR filters are stable and offer linear phase characteristics, but they require longer computation times. IR filters are more efficient computationally, but may produce frequency-dependent phase shifts and are more sensitive to numerical instability. FFT filtering uses spectral decomposition, offering sharp frequency discrimination, though it is not ideal for real-time applications due to latency. The choice between analog and digital filters depends on EEG acquisition and analysis requirements. While analog filters remain useful in pre-digitization hardware, digital filters offer greater versatility, accuracy, and reproducibility for clinical and research purposes. Importantly, clinicians must standardize filter settings across sessions to ensure data comparability and interpretive consistency. As digital filters become more sophisticated and integrated into EEG software platforms, their role in refining EEG signal clarity and reliability continues to expand. Single Hertz bins. Single Hertz binning in EEG analysis refers to parsing spectral data into 1 Hertz intervals to more precisely identify peak frequency characteristics. This method enables clinicians to tailor neurofeedback protocols by targeting the frequency bin that exhibits the highest amplitude or Z-score deviation from normative values. For example, identifying a dominant peak at 9 Hz allows for training specifically within the 8 to 10 Hz range rather than using broader bands like 8 to 12 Hz. This fine-tuned approach supports more personalized and potentially effective training interventions, particularly for addressing cognitive deficits or emotional dysregulation. Using single hertz bins also improves the detection and interpretation of the posterior dominant rhythm, PDR, a prominent marker in resting EEG recorded from occipital regions. The PDR reflects synchronous neuronal activity during relaxed wakefulness with eyes closed and typically falls within 9 to 11 hertz in adults. Deviations from age norm values, such as slower PDR in older adults or neurodegenerative conditions, can provide early clinical indicators of cognitive decline. Monitoring PDR across development, from 6 hertz in infants to 10 hertz in adolescents, provides additional insight into neurodevelopmental status and informs normative database comparisons. This level of frequency resolution also allows clinicians to detect subtle abnormalities that may go unnoticed in broader spectral bands. For instance, elevated amplitude in a narrow 20 to 21 hertz band could reflect anxiety or hypervigilance, prompting focused interventions. Likewise, deficits in single-band alpha or SMR frequencies may reveal attentional impairments or sensorimotor dysfunctions. Employing single hertz bins enhances diagnostic specificity and facilitates targeted, evidence-based neurofeedback, underscoring the importance of high-resolution spectral analysis in clinical practice. Subjective characteristics of frequency bands. EEG frequency bands are not solely defined by their numerical boundaries, but also by the subjective and behavioral states they reflect. The delta band, 0.5 to 4 hertz, is generally associated with deep sleep, unconsciousness, and certain pathological states. Theta, 4 to 8 hertz, often emerges during drowsiness, meditation, and internally focused mental activity. Alpha, 8 to 12 or 13 hertz, appears in relaxed, wakeful states with eyes closed and is reduced with mental effort or sensory engagement. Beta, 13 to 30 hertz, is linked to active thinking, problem solving, and arousal, while gamma, above 30 hertz, is associated with high-level cognitive integration, attention, and sensorimotor processing. These associations help clinicians infer mental states from EEG data and inform neurofeedback targets. Each frequency band demonstrates specific reactivity to physiological and cognitive states. Alpha activity is often suppressed upon eye opening or cognitive effort, known as alpha blocking. Theta tends to increase during states of fatigue or internal attention, making it prominent in conditions like ADHD and anxiety. Beta increases during sustained attention and decreases during sleep, while gamma may surge during moments of insight, binding sensory information across cortical regions. These dynamic changes allow clinicians to use EEG not only as a diagnostic tool, but also to monitor intervention progress in real-time neurofeedback applications. However, depending on topography and context, the same frequency can have different functional implications. For instance, theta in the frontal midline may relate to executive functions and task performance, whereas posterior theta might indicate drowsiness. Similarly, beta in the sensorimotor cortex may reflect readiness or inhibition of movement, whereas diffuse high beta can indicate anxiety or overarousal. This nuanced interpretation underscores the importance of integrating topographical, temporal, and contextual factors when assessing EEG activity, enhancing both the specificity and efficacy of neurofeedback and clinical EEG use. Delta, 0.5 to 3 or 4 Hz. Delta activity is the slowest EEG rhythm, occurring within the 0.5 to 3 or 4 Hz range, and is most commonly associated with deep, restorative sleep and severe brain dysfunction. In healthy adults, delta waves predominate during slow wave sleep, SWS, facilitating physical restoration, immune function, and the clearance of metabolic waste through the glymphatic system. They are highly synchronous and of high amplitude, indicating coordinated activity across large neuronal populations. Outside sleep, the presence of delta in waking EEG often signals pathological conditions, including traumatic brain injury, encephalopathy, or white matter damage. Developmentally, the delta frequency is the dominant rhythm in infancy, gradually giving way to higher frequency rhythms as the brain matures. Clinically, the appearance of delta waves in waking adults is a red flag, typically suggesting diffuse cortical dysfunction or focal structural lesions. Diffuse delta may result from metabolic disorders, toxic exposure, or hypoxia, and is often observed in psychiatric patients with treatment-resistant symptoms. Focal delta, in contrast, may indicate localized damage such as tumor, stroke, or cortical dysplasia. Delta amplitude can also increase due to sleep deprivation. While arrhythmic delta in task performance has been associated with cognitive load and internal focus. In children with ADHD or learning disabilities, excessive diffuse delta is frequently seen and may guide inhibitory neurofeedback protocols targeting 2 to 7 Hz. Training approaches involving delta must be handled cautiously. High amplitude delta is not typically rewarded, as it is linked with dysfunction and sleep. Instead, protocols may inhibit excessive delta while enhancing faster, more adaptive frequencies. In cases where delta amplitude is abnormally low, such as with insomnia or anxiety, Z-score neurofeedback targeting delta normalization may be applied. Interpreting delta activity requires careful correlation with clinical presentation, task context, and client state to distinguish between functional and pathological manifestations. Delta rhythm generators. Delta rhythm generation is primarily attributed to thalamocortical circuits, particularly the interplay between the thalamus and cortical pyramidal neurons. Thalamic reticular neurons act as pacemakers, producing rhythmic bursts that synchronize activity across wide cortical territories. These rhythms are prominent during non-REM sleep stages, especially slow-wave sleep, where delta frequencies dominate. The thalamic reticular nucleus, TRN, provides inhibitory GABAergic input to relay neurons in the thalamus, which in turn influence cortical oscillatory dynamics. This feedback loop underlies the generation and maintenance of delta activity and serves as a neural substrate for sleep-dependent restorative functions. In addition to thalamic input, cortical mechanisms also contribute to delta generation. Within the neocortex, rhythmic interactions between excitatory pyramidal neurons and inhibitory interneurons promote slow oscillations. These slow cortical potentials exhibit traveling wave characteristics, coordinating activity across cortical layers and hemispheres. Neuronal hyperpolarization, often facilitated by calcium-activated potassium currents, leads to prolonged periods of neuronal silence interspersed with synchronized bursting, which collectively manifest as delta waves on the EEG. These dynamics are essential not only for sleep maintenance, but also for cognitive processing during quiet wakefulness and internal focus. Damage to or dysfunction within these generating circuits can alter delta activity patterns. For example, structural lesions, white matter disconnection, or metabolic abnormalities may exaggerate delta amplitude or alter its spatial distribution. This sensitivity makes delta a valuable marker in EEG for both functional and structural brain assessment. Understanding the underlying neurophysiology of delta generation enhances the clinician's ability to interpret deviations in delta activity, whether observed during rest, cognitive tasks, or sleep, and to link these findings to neurological and psychiatric conditions. The meaning of delta EEG activity. Delta EEG activity plays a vital role in physical and cognitive restoration, particularly during sleep. In healthy adults, delta waves predominate during slow-wave sleep, characterized by high neuronal synchrony and large amplitude oscillations. This sleep phase supports essential processes, including memory consolidation, synaptic pruning, and the release of growth hormone. Delta activity also facilitates the glymphatic clearance of neurotoxins, such as beta amyloid, which, if left unchecked, contribute to the development of neurodegenerative diseases. These findings underscore the necessity of deep, delta-rich sleep for overall brain health and systemic physiological maintenance. In addition to its restorative functions during sleep, delta activity is relevant during wakefulness. While typically minimal in alert adults, delta can emerge during intense cognitive tasks that require internal attention and sustained concentration. Such findings suggest delta may play a role in high-effort mental processing, especially in the prefrontal cortex. Furthermore, delta activity in the waking state may support internal monitoring and homeostatic regulation, helping the brain conserve energy and maintain optimal functioning. In this context, delta is not inherently pathological but context-dependent, reflecting adaptive versus maladaptive brain states. Therapeutically, The modulation of delta activity has implications for neurofeedback and EEG-guided interventions. In cases where delta amplitude is excessively high during wakefulness, such as attention deficit disorders or post-concussion states, inhibitory training protocols may be warranted. Conversely, when delta is abnormally low, as seen in insomnia or chronic stress, uptraining through Z-score normalization may be beneficial. Thus, understanding the multifaceted role of delta activity enhances clinical decision-making, allowing for targeted interventions that align with each individual's functional profile and presenting symptoms. The delta rhythm in disease. Delta rhythms, when observed outside of sleep in awake adults, frequently signify underlying neuropathology. Diffuse delta activity, slowing across broad cortical regions, is a hallmark of global cerebral dysfunction and is often detected in metabolic encephalopathy, hypoxic injury, and toxic states. This widespread delta reflects disrupted thalamocortical communication and impaired cortical integration. Clinically, it is associated with impaired consciousness, cognitive disorganization, and poor neurological prognosis, especially in hospital settings. Studies have shown that patients with persistent diffuse delta exhibit increased morbidity and mortality, even when adjusted for age and comorbid conditions. Focal delta activity, by contrast, often indicates localized structural pathology. Lesions such as tumors, strokes, or cortical dysplasias can produce rhythmic or polymorphic delta in specific regions. This topographic delta slowing is useful in identifying the anatomical site of dysfunction and may precede the appearance of more definitive imaging findings. Focal delta can also signal electrical instability, especially in paralesional tissue, and has been observed in patients with epilepsy or those at high risk for seizures. In such cases, delta is a biomarker not only of structural compromise, but of altered neuronal excitability and synchronization. Beyond structural and metabolic etiologies, delta abnormalities are common in neurodevelopmental and psychiatric conditions. Children with autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, or intellectual disabilities often exhibit increased delta amplitude or power during waking EEG. Similarly, adults with treatment-resistant mood disorders may show diffuse delta activity, suggestive of underlying functional disconnection or cortical inefficiency. When integrated with clinical findings, these delta patterns support differential diagnosis and guide neurofeedback protocols. As a result, delta rhythms serve not only as indicators of damage, but also as dynamic markers of brain dysfunction, functional status, and therapeutic responsiveness. Theta, 3 to 8 Hz. Theta activity spans the 3 to 8 Hz range and is pivotal in multiple physiological and cognitive functions. It is prominently observed during light sleep, drowsiness, meditative states, and hypnagogic imagery, especially in temporal and frontal regions. Theta rhythms are more common in children and tend to diminish with maturation, replaced by higher frequency bands. In the waking adult EEG, theta activity is typically minimal, and its presence, especially when excessive or generalized, can suggest developmental delay, cognitive fatigue, or attentional dysfunction. However, not all theta is pathological. In specific cortical locations, such as the hippocampus and medial frontal cortex, theta is involved in memory encoding and executive function, particularly during tasks requiring internal attention or focused effort. Functional theta activity is often linked to creativity, memory retrieval, and emotional processing. Studies show that increases in frontal midline theta activity correlate with task engagement and problem solving. Conversely, theta detected in posterior regions during waking states often indicates reduced alertness or sleep onset. The dual nature of theta, which is adaptive in some contexts and maladaptive in others, requires careful interpretation based on scalp topography, behavioral state, and clinical presentation. The precise characterization of theta's reactivity and localization can guide neurofeedback interventions, such as uptraining frontal midline theta to support attention or downtraining posterior theta to enhance vigilance. Abnormal theta patterns may be associated with psychiatric and neurological conditions, including ADHD, anxiety, traumatic brain injury, TBI, and mild cognitive impairment. Elevated theta to beta ratios have historically been used as a biomarker for ADHD, Although recent research emphasizes the importance of age-normed comparisons and context-specific assessments, neurofeedback strategies aimed at reducing excessive theta or normalizing the theta-to-beta ratio have demonstrated utility in addressing symptoms of inattention and hyperactivity. Understanding the diverse manifestations of theta activity allows clinicians to interpret it within the broader framework of cognitive and emotional functioning, developmental norms, and individualized treatment goals. Childhood disorders. In childhood EEG, theta activity is a dominant and normative feature, reflecting developmental neurophysiology. Young children typically exhibit higher theta amplitudes and elevated theta-to-beta ratios than adults. This pattern gradually shifts as cortical networks mature and higher frequency rhythms become more prominent. However, in children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or learning disabilities, theta may remain excessive beyond typical developmental periods. This persistence of elevated theta, particularly in frontal and central regions, has been linked to inattention, impulsivity, and difficulties with executive function. Elevated theta can also indicate underarousal or inefficiencies in cognitive control circuits. Quantitative EEG, QEG, assessments frequently show that children with ADHD have theta-to-beta ratios exceeding age-normed expectations. Ratios above 3:1 are considered indicative of a slow-wave dominance, and in some clinical cases, this ratio may reach 6:1. Neurofeedback protocols targeting these imbalances often involve downtraining theta, for example, 4 to 8 Hz, and uptraining beta, 13 to 21 Hz, to improve attentional control and reduce hyperactive behaviors. These interventions can be particularly effective when combined with behavioral checklists and continuous performance tests to ensure accurate diagnosis and treatment responsiveness. Despite its clinical utility, reliance solely on the theta-to-beta ratio is insufficient for diagnosis. Comorbid conditions such as anxiety, depression, and trauma can also influence EEG patterns, including elevated theta. Moreover, the topography of theta activity provides crucial diagnostic information. For example, temporal theta may reflect hippocampal involvement in spatial navigation, whereas frontal midline theta may support internal cognitive processing. Therefore, theta activity in childhood disorders should be interpreted within a comprehensive neurodevelopmental framework that includes behavioral data, task performance, and normative database comparisons. Cognitive decline. Theta activity in adults is often associated with cognitive decline, particularly when it becomes excessive in regions typically dominated by higher frequency rhythms. In early stages of cognitive impairment, such as mild cognitive impairment or early Alzheimer's disease, QEG may reveal increased theta power and slowed peak frequencies in posterior regions. This shift from alpha to theta dominance reflects a decrease in neuronal efficiency and a disruption of cortical networks. Theta increases in temporal regions are especially relevant, as they suggest reduced hippocampal perfusion and functional disconnection, both of which correlate with memory loss and executive dysfunction. Transient theta bursts in the left temporal lobe, known as brief-onset rhythmic temporal theta, BORTT, are occasionally observed in elderly adults during moments of attentional lapse or confusion. While occasional occurrences may reflect drowsiness or fatigue, their persistent presence or exaggerated amplitude during cognitive tasks may suggest neurodegenerative progression. These patterns can inform clinical decision-making, supporting early diagnosis and differential assessment between normal aging and pathological decline. Additionally, theta slowing in frontal regions is frequently observed in vascular cognitive impairment and can co-occur with white matter lesions visible on neuroimaging. Neurofeedback protocols for cognitive decline may focus on reducing excessive theta or enhancing faster rhythms, such as low beta or high alpha. Incorporating memory and executive function tasks during training may improve engagement and facilitate task-related synchronization. Accurate interpretation of theta activity in aging populations requires longitudinal tracking, normative comparisons, and integration with clinical and behavioral assessments. These methods provide a valuable adjunct to neuroimaging and neuropsychological testing, enhancing early detection and monitoring of neurocognitive disorders. Substance use disorders. Theta activity plays a complex role in the assessment and treatment of substance use disorders, particularly in the context of neurofeedback protocols. One widely used approach is alpha theta training, which aims to increase theta, usually 5 to 8 Hz, and alpha, 8 to 12 Hz, while reducing beta activity, especially in clients recovering from alcohol or opioid addiction. This protocol is designed to promote relaxation and access to preconscious emotional material, potentially facilitating therapeutic processing of trauma or suppressed memories. The alpha-theta state is also associated with hypnagogic imagery and deep internal focus, which may enhance emotional integration and promote abstinence maintenance in motivated individuals. However, caution must be exercised when applying theta enhancement protocols in populations vulnerable to dissociation or emotional dysregulation. For example, in clients with post-traumatic stress disorder or frontal lobe epilepsy, increasing theta may provoke flashbacks, hallucinations, or cognitive impairment. Similarly, individuals with elevated baseline theta or poor impulse control may experience exacerbation of symptoms, particularly if training is not carefully titrated and monitored. In these cases, a more conservative approach involving stabilization of beta activity or modulation of frontal asymmetry may be safer and more effective. Theta abnormalities have also been observed in individuals with chronic substance use histories, such as persistent theta excess in frontal and temporal regions. These patterns may reflect neurotoxic effects of substances on cortical and subcortical structures. Neurofeedback targeting normalization of theta activity has shown promise in improving cognitive clarity, impulse control, and emotional regulation. As with all neurofeedback applications, treatment must be individualized, and decisions should be based on thorough QEG analysis, behavioral evaluation, and clinical judgment to ensure safety and therapeutic efficacy. Final notes. The interpretation and modulation of EEG frequency bands, particularly delta and theta, require a nuanced understanding of their physiological, cognitive, and pathological significance. These rhythms exhibit variable expression and meaning across developmental stages, clinical populations, and neurofeedback contexts. Delta activity, for example, can signify deep restorative processes in sleep or pathological slowing in wakefulness. Theta can reflect adaptive internal attention or maladaptive underarousal, depending on its cortical source and behavioral correlation. These complexities necessitate careful evaluation that goes beyond raw amplitude or power metrics, incorporating topographical mapping, behavioral assessments, and normative data comparisons. For practitioners, effective neurofeedback and clinical EEG application demand ongoing education and data literacy. The growing availability of high-resolution EEG systems and advanced analytics software allows for finer-grained assessment and individualized protocol development. However, these tools must be used with clinical discernment, especially in vulnerable populations or clients with comorbid conditions. As the field evolves, integrating EEG findings with cognitive neuroscience, clinical psychology, and personalized medicine offers promising avenues for improving treatment efficacy and diagnostic precision. Ultimately, the utility of EEG lies in its ability to reflect brain dynamics in real time and inform functional interpretations of client states. The EEG provides a window into the brain's electrical language, whether used for neurodevelopmental assessment, cognitive enhancement, or psychiatric rehabilitation. Understanding the subtleties of slow wave activity and its interplay with faster rhythms enables clinicians to design more targeted, ethical, and empirically grounded interventions. Commitment to best practices, including comprehensive assessment and individualized training, ensures that EEG remains a powerful tool in applied neuroscience. Alpha, 8 to 12 or 13 Hz. Alpha activity is one of the most prominent and well-studied EEG rhythms, typically occurring in the 8 to 12 or 8 to 13 Hz range. It is most easily observed in the posterior scalp regions during relaxed wakefulness, particularly when the eyes are closed and the individual is not actively processing sensory input. Alpha is often described as a marker of cortical idling or neural inhibition, reflecting a state of restful alertness in which the brain is disengaged from external stimuli. Alpha amplitude typically decreases with eye opening, mental effort, or sensory stimulation, a process known as alpha blocking. This dynamic reactivity makes alpha a useful index of arousal state and attentional modulation. The topography of alpha activity provides essential clues about functional status. In healthy individuals, alpha is strongest over occipital regions and typically symmetrical across hemispheres. Asymmetries in alpha voltage, particularly when persistent and regionally specific, can indicate underlying dysfunction or cortical inefficiency. For instance, reduced alpha over the left frontal lobe has been associated with depression, while right dominant alpha may be linked to anxiety. These patterns have led to developing frontal alpha asymmetry protocols in neurofeedback for mood regulation. Alpha is also integral to the posterior dominant rhythm, which serves as a developmental marker and clinical reference point for determining the integrity of the visual and associative cortices. Cognitive demands and individual traits also modulate alpha rhythms. During tasks requiring internal focus or memory retrieval, alpha may increase in parietal and occipital areas while decreasing in frontal regions. The individual alpha frequency, IF, or peak frequency within the alpha band varies with age, cognitive ability, and mental state. Faster IFs are generally associated with better cognitive performance and processing speed, while slower IFs may indicate fatigue, cognitive decline, or neurological impairment. As such, alpha activity is both a stable trait marker and a dynamic state indicator, making it central to EEG-based assessment and intervention. The source of the alpha rhythm. The generation of alpha rhythms involves complex interactions between thalamic and cortical structures. Central to this process is the thalamocortical relay system, which modulates the transmission of sensory information to the cortex. During relaxed wakefulness with eyes closed, the withdrawal of visual input leads to rhythmic inhibitory signals originating from the reticular nucleus of the thalamus, TRN. These inhibitory GABAergic signals regulate the activity of thalamic relay neurons, which in turn entrain cortical pyramidal neurons into synchronized oscillations at 8 to 12 Hz. This cyclical feedback loop between the thalamus and cortex underlies the regularity and spatial coherence of alpha waves observed over posterior regions. Alpha rhythms are particularly prominent over the occipital and parietal cortices, which receive dense input from the visual and somatosensory pathways. When external stimuli are removed, such as by closing the eyes, these regions enter a resting state, facilitated by the rhythmic inhibition from the TRN. The degree of synchrony and amplitude of alpha activity depends on the number of neurons engaged in this feedback circuit. Larger, more coherent populations of neurons result in higher amplitude alpha rhythms detectable at the scalp. This phenomenon is especially evident in the posterior dominant rhythm, where alpha is maximized in the eyes closed condition. Neurotransmitter systems and network connectivity also modulate the generation of alpha rhythms. Cholinergic tone, for example, influences thalamic excitability and cortical desynchronization, and fluctuations in this system can alter alpha frequency and amplitude. Moreover, glial cells and their coordination of extracellular potassium dynamics play a supporting role in maintaining rhythmic oscillations. Pathological disruptions to any component of the thalamocortical loop, resulting from neurodegeneration, vascular injury, or inflammation, can lead to altered alpha generation, contributing to cognitive and affective symptoms. Understanding the neuroanatomical and neurochemical basis of alpha rhythms enables clinicians to interpret deviations from normative patterns more effectively and tailor neurofeedback protocols accordingly. The alpha frequency's meaning and importance. The individual alpha frequency, IF, the precise peak within the alpha band, offers valuable insights into a person's cognitive function and neurological status. While the general alpha range is 8 to 12 or 8 to 13 Hz, IF typically centers around 10 Hz in healthy adults. Faster alpha frequencies are associated with improved cognitive processing, enhanced memory performance, and better attentional control. Conversely, slower alpha rhythms may indicate fatigue, cognitive inefficiency, or neurodegenerative changes. Clinically, deviations in IF can aid in the assessment of mild cognitive impairment, traumatic brain injury, and age-related decline, providing early indicators of dysfunction before behavioral symptoms become overt. Beyond speed, the amplitude and reactivity of alpha rhythms are also diagnostically significant. A robust alpha response upon eyes closing and its subsequent attenuation upon opening, alpha blocking, reflects normal thalamocortical regulation. An absence or blunted alpha response can suggest chronic hypervigilance, anxiety, or trauma-related states. In such cases, individuals may struggle to disengage from sensory input or maintain a resting state, leading to dysregulated arousal. Similarly, asymmetries in alpha amplitude across hemispheres, particularly in frontal regions, may serve as biomarkers for mood disorders, with left hypoactivation linked to depression and right hypoactivation associated with anxiety. These characteristics are not only relevant for diagnosis, but also inform intervention planning in neurofeedback. Training to increase posterior alpha amplitude or adjust peak frequency can support improved relaxation, cognitive performance, and emotional regulation. When used appropriately, alpha metrics become both targets and indicators of neurofeedback success. Individual variability in alpha frequency underscores the importance of baseline assessment and age-normed comparisons, particularly when defining training protocols. Ultimately, alpha's multifaceted role makes it a central component of QEG interpretation and brain-based interventions. Eyes closed alpha response voltage, meaning, and importance. The eyes closed alpha response is a critical marker of cortical relaxation and neural synchrony, particularly in the posterior regions of the scalp. When the eyes close, visual input ceases, leading to the disinhibition of thalamocortical relay circuits and the emergence of rhythmic alpha activity. A healthy alpha response typically manifests as a sharp increase in amplitude, often exceeding 50% of the eyes open baseline voltage. This increase reflects the brain's transition from an externally focused to an internally relaxed state, marked by synchronous neuronal firing within visual and associative cortices. Clinically, the magnitude of this alpha response provides insight into an individual's capacity to modulate arousal and achieve a resting state. Blunted or absent alpha responses upon eyes closing may indicate difficulties in disengaging from external stimuli or persistent cognitive hyperactivity. Individuals with anxiety, post-traumatic stress, or chronic pain often exhibit reduced alpha reactivity, suggesting impaired inhibitory control within the thalamocortical loop. This dysregulation may contribute to insomnia, attentional deficits, or emotional instability. Conversely, an exaggerated alpha response may be observed in individuals with excessive cortical inhibition or certain medication effects. Therefore, assessing the amplitude and latency of the alpha response provides a non-invasive biomarker for evaluating cortical arousal regulation and attentional control. The clinical utility of the eyes closed alpha response extends to neurofeedback training. Protocols may aim to increase the amplitude of alpha in individuals with low baseline reactivity or target specific frequency subbands to optimize cognitive and emotional function. For example, training the 8 to 10 Hz range may promote calmness in anxious individuals, while reinforcing 10 to 12 Hz may enhance mental clarity in cognitively fatigued clients. Interpretation of alpha response voltage should always consider factors such as montage configuration, normative comparisons, and client state to ensure accurate assessment and effective intervention planning. Alpha blocking response, meaning and importance. Alpha blocking is the reduction or elimination of alpha activity in response to sensory stimulation or cognitive engagement, particularly upon eye opening. This phenomenon reflects desynchronization of neuronal firing as attention shifts from an internal to an external focus. In healthy individuals, alpha amplitude rapidly decreases, typically within 1 to 2 seconds, when the eyes open, signaling cortical activation in response to visual input. This reactivity is mediated by the re-engagement of thalamocortical relay neurons and the suppression of rhythmic inhibitory input from the reticular nucleus of the thalamus. The effectiveness and speed of alpha blocking serve as a functional indicator of sensory responsiveness and cognitive readiness. Failure to adequately suppress alpha upon eye opening may suggest hypoactivation or disrupted cortical inhibition. This pattern is frequently observed in individuals with fatigue, chronic marijuana use, cerebral dysfunction, or meditative practices that reinforce persistent internal focus. In clinical populations, reduced alpha blocking has been linked to impaired sensory processing and attentional disengagement. It may also indicate a state of cortical underarousal or deficient excitatory input to visual and associative areas. Such findings can inform diagnoses and influence the design of neurofeedback protocols to enhance sensory integration and attentional flexibility. Alpha blocking is also a target in neurofeedback training, especially when attempting to improve task-related desynchronization and cortical responsiveness. To restore adaptive regulation, clients may be trained to increase the differentiation between eyes closed and eyes open alpha levels. Interventions may include cognitive tasks during recording to assess the robustness of blocking across different engagement levels. Interpretation of alpha blocking must account for state-related variables, such as alertness, anxiety, and pharmacological influences. As a dynamic indicator of neural flexibility, alpha blocking offers critical insights into the brain's ability to modulate attention and maintain functional balance between rest and engagement. Summary for alpha. Alpha activity is a central indicator of cortical regulation, reflecting the dynamic balance between rest and engagement. It is most prominently observed in posterior regions during eyes-closed rest and is generated through rhythmic interactions between thalamic relay circuits and cortical neurons. The appearance of alpha rhythms signifies a disengaged yet alert state, which is useful for both relaxation and internal focus. Disruptions in this rhythm, such as slowed frequency, reduced amplitude, or asymmetrical distribution, can reveal dysfunctions related to mood disorders, cognitive impairment, or altered arousal regulation. The robustness of the alpha response and its modulation by stimuli or mental effort are essential metrics in both diagnostic and training contexts. The generation of alpha activity is closely tied to the thalamocortical relay system and modulated by inhibitory feedback from the thalamic reticular nucleus. This interaction ensures the regular pacing of cortical rhythms and the suppression of unnecessary sensory input during rest periods. Changes in alpha dynamics, including peak frequency shifts or delayed alpha blocking, can indicate cortical inefficiencies or altered neurotransmitter activity. The ability of the cortex to switch rapidly between synchronized alpha and desynchronized higher frequency states reflects neural flexibility and is critical for maintaining cognitive performance and emotional stability. In neurofeedback applications, alpha is frequently targeted to enhance relaxation, improve mood, and sharpen cognitive function. Interventions may aim to increase alpha amplitude, speed up a sluggish alpha peak frequency, or train appropriate asymmetry patterns in frontal regions. Improved symptom profiles in anxiety, depression, and attention regulation often accompany successful modulation of alpha activity. Given its well-established neurophysiological basis and strong correlation with functional outcomes, alpha remains a foundational element in EEG-based assessment and intervention strategies. Its interpretation requires careful attention to context, montage, and normative comparisons to ensure meaningful clinical application. Sensorimotor rhythm, 12 or 13 to 15 Hz. Sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, typically occurring between 12 and 15 Hz, is recorded over the sensorimotor strip and reflects a state of motor stillness and relaxed alertness. Unlike other beta rhythms, SMR is characterized by its stability and spindling morphology, appearing as a train of sinusoidal waveforms with moderate amplitude. This rhythm is generated by thalamocortical circuits, particularly involving the ventrobasal thalamus and its reentrant connections with the primary motor and somatosensory cortices. SMR emerges when voluntary movement is inhibited, yet the cortex remains alert and receptive to internal stimuli, a state conducive to focused attention and motor control. SMR activity is functionally distinct from both alpha and higher beta frequencies. While alpha reflects general cortical inhibition and beta is associated with active processing, SMR represents a balance between readiness and restraint. In this state, sensory input is gated and motor output suppressed, creating optimal conditions for fine motor coordination and attentional stability. The presence of well-formed SMR is considered a neurophysiological marker of calm alertness, and its augmentation has been associated with improved motor performance, reduced impulsivity, and enhanced sensory processing. SMR is particularly prominent during tasks requiring sustained focus without overt motor activity. In neurofeedback, SMR training is a well-established protocol for treating conditions such as ADHD, epilepsy, insomnia, and chronic pain. Increasing SMR amplitude can help suppress excessive motor activity and enhance inhibitory control over cortical excitability. For instance, in epilepsy, SMR uptraining may reduce seizure frequency by stabilizing thalamocortical oscillations. In ADHD, it supports behavioral regulation and attentional control. Successful SMR training is often accompanied by improved sleep quality, reduced hyperactivity, and better emotional regulation. As a clinically validated and functionally specific rhythm, SMR remains a cornerstone of neurofeedback protocols targeting sensorimotor integration and behavioral optimization.